We're going to move on to education swiftly now, and you know, Elizabeth touched on skills to a certain extent, but let's hear now from Louise Harris from the Big Learning Company. Louise.
Thank you. I thought I was going to be the first one to talk about sport, and after a really exciting weekend of sport, I'm sure some of us are still recovering from what was a really energetic weekend. I thought I was going to be possibly the first one to touch on sport, but just pipped to the post. Just a quick anecdote, really, from the Ireland game a couple of weeks ago. Great, had tickets, made the big, massive mistake of trying to go for lunch before kickoff. Found myself in a restaurant that had been quite clever. There were queues in all the other restaurants, but I found a restaurant without a queue. Managed to get in and realised the reason I could get in is because they'd probably doubled their tables and jammed them all in. And I found myself sitting next to two very buoyant and excited Welsh fans, who were really, really keen to tell me that they'd travelled all the way from Somerset on their annual return to Wales to support their country and support their team. The gentleman was really keen to tell me what a fantastic country Wales is and all the really great things about it. He got to the point when he said, "And so what do you do?" And instead of, I was really keen to eat my food and get to the match, to be quite honest, instead of saying, "I run a business," I thought, I won't go into that, it's going to be too long-winded. So I just said, "I'm a teacher," which was my first profession. And the mood completely changed as soon as I said that. He went from being really buoyant and upbeat and this is God's country to I would never move back to Wales because the education system has gone completely downhill and God help you if you get ill. So I was quite depressed at this point. But I found myself arguing back to this gentleman that, you know, his views were all about the press and he just read about this and it wasn't true. In Wales we had a great system and there were some fantastic elements about it. But really I should have been saying to him that we're on a journey. So things aren't that great at the moment, but we've got what's called a slow burn. We're on a journey and we're going to make some changes. But I thought that wouldn't go down too well because actually when things are really bad and people think you're really bad, you need a quick answer, don't you? You need something that's going to change things really quickly. So saying we've got a 10-year plan, things are bad now, but things are going to be better in 10 years, was not that great. And I couldn't really say that to him. And it's interesting, this morning when I sat and Jerry was talking, he really posed a question for me because he said first-class honours degrees in Wales tend to go off and they go to London and they work there. I got first in 2000 in Cardiff and my ambition was to stay here, to work in education, to be a teacher, to be a leader in education because I thought we had a fantastic system. Some problems, but lots of things that I thought I could play a part in turning around. So why hasn't that happened in the 15 years since I've been in education? Why haven't we made those changes that needed to happen? And I've got a few reasons for them, really. I think lots of the conversation today steered towards PISA. Now, it's quite a topical benchmark to talk about in terms of education because, of course, it gives us data. And I think David earlier said, you know, that there are some issues around the benchmarking in PISA, but it gives us data, and data is really, really important. We need that. So if we look at PISA and we look at what's happened over the last 5 years, if we look back to 2010, we had Leighton Andrews saying to us then, we've got to wake up. We've got a really complacent system. We're not delivering. And nothing really has changed in that 5 years. So just a few stats, and most of you will already know these. Wales is significantly behind England in many of the scores. And just here you can see that we can take some solace in the fact that we're doing okay in science, but we've still got a decline. So in reading, in writing, in maths and in science, we're below par. We're behind England, but we're massively behind the rest of the world. And we've heard today about talking about international. Where are we internationally? Often when we look at education stats in Wales, we tend to compare them to England because we don't feel so bad then, because actually we're not that far behind. But if we start benchmarking against Singapore, things look really, really bad. So what's happened is Welsh Government have obviously started to change their targets. We had Leighton Andrews making the call that we would be in the top 20. That's kind of slid by the wayside now, and Hugh Lewis is saying There's a new ambition. There's a new ambition. We won't be in the top 20, but we'll be in the 500 club. So it sounds quite good, doesn't it, to be in the 500 club? And Hugh Lewis is saying, if we get in the 500 club by 2021, which is a long way off, then we would have travelled a really good journey. I don't agree with that. I don't think to be in the 500 club by 2021 is a good journey, really. I think that, again, goes back to that idea of a slow burn. Nice to be in the 500 club, but where's our ambition? And that's what we're talking about today. Interestingly, if we look at PISA, if we look at the statistics and the data that the OECD has, one of the interesting things is around self-efficacy. And I think something we've talked about today is, do we believe in ourselves? Do we believe that we could make change, that we could get that 4% growth? Do we believe that's something that we could really achieve? And the OECD did a really interesting survey, which struck me more than any of the other data that they presented. And it was a survey of young people across the world in all the PISA nations in what they thought made them good at maths. What makes you good at maths? So top of the PISA rankings, Singapore, so good they've even left PISA now. They're going to get another game to be good at. They asked the children in Singapore, what makes you good at maths? And they said, if we believe in our teachers and we work really hard and we stick to our vision and to our goal, we'll be good at maths. Fantastic, seems really good. They asked the children in Wales, what will make you good at maths? And they said this, which I think is startling. If we're not born good at maths, and we're not born geniuses, we are never going to be good at maths. So that whole idea of self-efficacy in our system is not there. Quite a lot of talk today about the Basque region. If we look to San Sebastian, we just heard a moment ago about a very, very focused economic plan. At the heart of that economic plan was the creative industries, but it was also the education and the upskilling of the young people within that education system at the time. And that's where we need to move ourselves now. It's fantastic that we have Donaldson Review, that we have the Furlong Report into initial teacher training. We are on that fantastic journey of change. But what we need to do is have some quick wins, I think. And they do exist. They are there. I know we've heard today that in growing an economy, there aren't many quick wins. I think in education, there are some quick wins. And they go back to David's point this morning about what works. For a very long time in our education system, we've had a lot of stick. And we haven't had a lot of carrot. And I think if we had a bit more carrot, a bit more of what works, and we know from looking globally, there are quick wins, there are things that work. We look to Singapore, okay, they took 40 years to turn around their system, but it's a very different time now. We've got digital, we can go digital, look at Finland, look at Estonia. And it goes back to just, I think, one point to finish on is that idea of infrastructure. San Sebastian and the Basque region, very, very similar in terms of a bilingual nation, similar creative industries hubs to us. It's really important that we look at connectivity in terms of high-speed broadband as well as infrastructure. I went to a school last week to talk about ICT, and the head teacher ushered me into a room and asked me a quite discreet question. And in the corner of the room is a bit of a dusty desk and no monitor, just a computer hard drive. And out of this hard drive was a purple lead. And the head said to me, we're on broadband, we've got Wi-Fi, but this purple lead, we're just a bit afraid to pull it out just in case our internet goes down. And this Ethernet cable was still left plugged in this computer. The monitor had long gone and the computer wasn't being used, but the lead was still there. So we do need training, we do need upskilling and CPD for our staff, but we need the connectivity there as well. One last point, and I think this is a call to the people in the room. One thing that other countries haven't done when they've looked at their creative industries and ICT and digital sector is they haven't involved the businesses very closely with schools. And if I was going to suggest anything today, it would be that centrally and in our local authorities and in our education consortia, we find a sensible way, something in it for everybody, where businesses can work really closely with education. education. That language at the moment does not exist. Schools can't talk to businesses, and businesses very rarely get a chance to speak to schools. If we could find a Rosetta Stone, a language that would work across those two sectors, I think we could get a quick win there. So a call to everybody today is to think about that. How can our businesses work really closely with our education sector?